This is the January 2013 Grillo Health Information presentation on resiliency. Here is the 15-minute talk by clinical psychologist Arielle Schwartz. Her topic is Beyond Survival, Moving from Loss into Love.
As I mentioned earlier, the first panel of this series focused on trauma. The increasing level of familiarity with the subject of post-traumatic stress is very important, as it helps many cope by both having an understanding of symptoms and a structure for the healing process. However, there's a larger context that's important to understand. We know that challenges or even exposure to traumatic experience in life is inevitable. This curve represents a range of possible outcomes to exposure to traumatic events. As you can see, there are three outcomes highlighted on the curve: post-traumatic stress on the left, resilience in the center, and post-traumatic growth on the right. On the bell curve, the center is the outcome that will be experienced by most people. And most people, when exposed to trauma, are resilient. Isn't that comforting? Both post-traumatic stress and post-traumatic growth occur significantly less frequently. Why is this important to understand? Martin Seligman, a researcher on topics of learned helplessness and resiliency, states that if the only association that you have with trauma is the development of post-traumatic stress, that you will be more likely to develop a negative stress response. However, if you are aware that the most common response to trauma exposure is resilience, and sometimes growth, that this can stop the downward spiral. Yeah, you like that? Me too. So, tonight I'm going to be addressing the following three questions. First, why do some people respond better to traumatic experiences than others? Second, what coping strategies and behaviors are associated with the greatest adaptation to stressful or traumatic events? And third, what are the most effective means of integrating these strategies into our lives? Some definitions first. What is post-traumatic stress? A very simplified definition is that we see adverse and long-lasting effects of unintegrated emotional and physiological response to stress. What is resilience? Resilience is adapting well in the face of adversity. It means bouncing back from difficult experiences. And what is post-traumatic growth? Here we see improved self-perception, enhanced relationships, and a strengthened life philosophy that occurs after exposure to a traumatic event. Resilience is ordinary, not extraordinary. Resilience is not a trait that either people have or do not have. It involves thoughts and actions that can be learned and developed in anyone. Traumatic events create pockets of unintegrated emotions and sensations. You can think of these as psychological eddies where you can get stuck. Here we confront the essential question, can I stay open to life knowing that loss and pain can happen? You can think of resilience as taking a rafting trip. You find difficult stretches that you have to get through. It is important to have strategies to help you find your way. And you will face rapids, currents, and difficult stretches of the river. Sure, you can climb out to rest along the way. In fact, this is very important at times. But in order to get to the end of your journey, you need to get back in the raft and continue. The experience of trauma is transformative. We cannot undo what has been done. Being resilient does not mean that we don't experience difficulty or distress. The road to resilience involves considerable emotional distress. Following trauma exposure, most people experience uncomfortable emotions and sensations such as grief, fear, anxiety, panic, anger, or depression. This is normal. And this is part of your innate resilience process. With this knowledge, you will be less likely to associate the presence of these feelings with an inevitable outcome of post-traumatic stress. I recently had someone come into my office who had been a witness to a shooting, never had been that close to gunshot, and it really shook her. And she came in and she said, "I just couldn't stop crying afterwards. What's wrong with me?" And I contextualized it with this framework and said, "That's normal. What your body is doing, what your emotional process is doing, will help you integrate this experience and recover from it." And it was such a relief for her to hear that information. Resilience is both a process and an outcome. As a process, we become conscious of the meanings that we make of difficult life events, and we cultivate choice about the narrative that we tell ourselves. For example, instead of saying, "I wasn't good enough," we can say, "I did the best that I could." And instead of shutting down, we feel and express our vulnerability, our pain, fear, rage, sadness, or terror. As a process, we are required to be in the moment with our experience. We learn to observe and to be present with our thoughts, sensations, and emotions. What we learn from authors such as Brené Brown, who studied experiences of shame and vulnerability, is that talking about painful feelings reduces the experience of isolation and gives access to feelings of joy and happiness. Furthermore, if you're not ready to share your experience with someone else, writing about difficult life experiences has been shown to have beneficial health outcomes and is an inexpensive self-therapy. The outcome of resilience is that we can say, "This happened to me, and it is over now." And the outcome of post-traumatic growth is that we can say, "And I am stronger because of it." We're going to step back now to discuss some of the factors associated with resiliency in adults and in children. First, from the research on resilience in children, I'm going to highlight several factors that are associated with positive outcome. The presence of a caring adult who takes an interest in the life of a child has been shown to be the most important factor that helps children be resilient in their worlds. Likewise, having a supportive and caring community, and a sense of self-efficacy. In other words, that the child can say, "I have an impact on my world. I can make things happen." One study that looked at children who grew up in very impoverished environments, the authors of this study concluded that we need to have faith in the capacity for children to come to grips with the reality that no one's world is perfect. However, we must not overestimate children's capacity to simply get over traumatic events. Children are not simply resilient, they are malleable. And what fosters their resilience are caregivers who recognize that children's integration of traumatic material needs to be facilitated as an active, expressive, psychological, and physiological process. In other words, again, we see that value of the present adult and the present community. As caring adults, we must realize the importance of being with emotions in all forms, such as rage, sadness, or fear. If we shut down the expression of emotion in children because of our own fears or because of our discomfort, we interfere with their ability to move through their process. Let's look now at some of the factors of resilience in adults. Again, the presence of supportive and caring relationships has been shown to make a difference. We need to stay connected and not become isolated. It is important to make realistic plans and take steps to carry them through. Maintain a positive view of self and strengthen skills in communication and problem solving. Research has shown that as human beings, we tend to default to negative thinking. These negative thoughts can get projected onto the self, onto the world, and the future. The capacity to think positively is a skill that needs to be cultivated and practiced. And what is encouraging is that all of these traits or behaviors are elements that you can develop in yourself. One study of resiliency in adults followed more than 400 supervisors and managers who were laid off from Bell Telephone Company and followed them for 6 years. Some of these employees suffered significantly with performance and leadership and health declines, whereas others thrived. They maintained their health and happiness and performance and felt renewed enthusiasm. So these authors looked at these individuals and tried to come to an understanding as to what factors are associated with those who thrived. And they concluded the following three factors. They call them hardiness factors. First, commitment, the ability to stay involved, staying engaged in ongoing events rather than isolating. Second, control. Rather than lapsing into passivity and powerlessness, you need to believe that with effort, you can influence the course of events in your life. And third, challenge. This is believing that growth and wisdom are gained from difficult or challenging experiences. In other words, life, whether positive or negative, provides opportunities for new learning. The final portion of my time with you this evening is going to be looking at some strategies for building resilience. What I want to say before going into this is that developing resilience is a personal journey. People do not all react to traumatic and stressful life events the same. What works for one person might not work for another. And people use varying strategies depending on cultural differences and personal preference. So, I'm going to go over 10 ways to build resilience. There was a handout that hopefully all of you got on your way in, and there's some extras outside if you didn't get one, so don't worry about trying to get all of this down. Some of this will be repetitive of what I've already covered. The first here is to make connections. Good relationships with close family members, friends, and others are important. Seek out and actively build your social circle. Stay involved rather than isolating. Make the phone calls, reach out, go to social events, come to Grillo events. Second, express yourself. Talk about it. Express vulnerable or painful emotions. This allows greater access to acceptance, compassion, and joy. Accept help and support from those who care about you and listen to you. And if needed, seek psychotherapy. If you're not ready to share, again, you can journal, which we know has been shown to be very beneficial. And also recognizing that in this process, there are times when you're not ready to express, and to be compassionate with that process as well. Third, get creative. This is where you paint your emotions, dance it out, become a poet, make music, listen to music. Often our linear left brain can restrict access to our inner wisdom and guidance. Give your right brain creative license through any creative channel that you choose. And don't worry about it looking good for anybody else. This is the process that's important, not the product. We can be inspired by Johnny's rap. It's just get out there and have fun with it. And thank you, Johnny. I want to acknowledge that I requested you bring that back tonight, and you did. It made me so happy. All right, fourth, practice acceptance. Accepting circumstances that cannot be changed will help you focus on those circumstances that you can change. Fifth, look for opportunities for self-discovery. Explore how different life events have strengthened you. How have you grown as a result of your struggles in life? Sixth, nurture a positive view of yourself. Research indicates the human tendency to focus on the negative. A positive approach is a practice that needs to be developed. Review how you have already been able to solve problems and have trusted your instincts. Seventh, take care of yourself. Pay attention to your own needs and feelings. Engage in activities that you enjoy and find relaxing. Get back to basics. Exercise, eat well, sleep. stay active, and I don't just mean hiking on the trails, but staying involved and engaged in life. Develop realistic goals and ask yourself, what steps can you accomplish each day that help you move towards achievement of your goals? Almost not done here. Number 9, keep things in perspective. Even when facing very painful events, consider the stressful situation in a broader context and keep a long-term perspective. Maintaining a hopeful outlook can enable you to expect that good things will happen once again in your life. And finally, personalize your list. Make a list of times that you felt supported, loved, or safe. Make a list of places where you feel at peace and people who are a circle of support in your life. List those activities that you can do regularly that bring you into balance. I'm going to end here tonight with a quote by Charles Darwin that says, "It is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the ones most adaptable to change."
This program was recorded by me, Shelley Schlender, on behalf of KGNU and the Grillo Center. The music is by Boulder's Little Lights Children's Choir. You can hear more of these programs, find hot links to the experts, and see video highlights by going to the website eatyourradio.org. Click on the Community tab and look for Grillo.